The promise to Abraham repeated. On Mount Moriah, God again confirmed with solemn oath the blessing to Abraham and to his seed, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham's great act of faith stands like a pillar of light, illuminating the pathway of God's servants in all succeeding ages. During that 3 days' journey, Abraham had sufficient time to reason and to doubt God. He might have reasoned that the slaying of his son would cause him to be looked upon as a murderer, a second Cain, it would cause his teaching to be rejected and despised, and thus destroy his power to do good to his fellow men. He might have pleaded that age should excuse him from obedience. But the patriarch did not take refuge in excuses. Abraham was human, his passions and attachments were like ours, but he did not stay to reason with his aching heart. He knew that God is just and righteous in all his requirements. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And Paul says, "They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." But Abraham's faith was made manifest by his works. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Many fail to understand the relation of faith and works. They say, "Only believe in Christ, and you are safe. You have nothing to do with keeping the law." But genuine faith will be manifest in obedience. Concerning the father of the faithful, the Lord declares, "Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Says the Apostle James, "Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." And John, who dwells so fully upon love, tells us, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." God preached before the gospel unto Abraham. And the patriarch's faith was fixed upon the Redeemer to come. Said Christ, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he should see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." The ram offered in place of Isaac represented the Son of God, who was to be sacrificed in our stead. The Father, looking upon his Son, said to the sinner, "Live, I have found a ransom." The agony which Abraham endured during the dark days of that fearful trial was permitted that he might understand something of the greatness of the sacrifice made by God for man's redemption. No other test could have caused Abraham such torture of soul as did the offering of his son. God gave his son to a death of agony and shame. The angels were not permitted to interpose, as in the case of Isaac. There was no voice to cry, "It is enough." To save the fallen race, the King of Glory yielded up his life. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?"